If you see a little boy with a cast on, that's mine, you know. So be it, right? But I'm so glad to get to talk to y'all today. I feel like I can't remember the last time I got to come up here and teach. My life has been very busy this last month. Turned 32, guys, my birthday. Amen. That makes me still the youngest guy, the pastor. So I'll keep that title as long as I can for a while. But 32, I feel great. Me and my son share a birthday, and actually Camille, me, my son, and Camille all share a birthday together, same day. And so, hey, that's God. That's God's day. No, just kidding. So excited for what God's doing. I got another busy, this month's going to be an amazing month, especially here at Grace, right? We have the Mother's Day is next week, which I can't remember who's teaching. Is it Jen? Jen's teaching. Woot woot. She was the one giving an announcement. Super excited about that. Then we have the Women's Conference, the 16th, which they announced is going to be awesome. And so super excited. And then we got something in the youth group. We got our seniors graduating this month. And I think there's three of them here today. And the amazing part, I've gotten to serve the youth for a good amount of time now. And every year, this is the kind of the sad part. But especially this year, with these, we got a group of girls that have been here a long time. Hannah, Camille, and there's a few others that aren't here, but they're here today. And what God's done with those girls is just incredible, guys. Just getting to see them grow from young women to now they're going to be adults and they're making decisions with God, and I am beyond proud of them. And what's crazy is that all of y'all had a hand in that, right? From what y'all have given for youth conferences, the people who have served, they've been able to encounter and pray for people. They've been able to just share their testimonies and lead our next group of youth coming up. And so I just wanted to take some time and say I'm extremely proud. And Nehemiah, I didn't see you here, man. Guy up in the sound booth. I love it. I'm going to say something about Nehemiah, too. There was a time during the youth, the guys, that everyone was under 13. And I was struggling, guys. I love those boys, but they were giving it to me. They wanted to pursue God in such a way. But they just cracked me up, and I was like, God, I need like a wise male voice, not just my own, but an older gentleman here. And Nehemiah came, and immediately the room changed. And so, and what he imparted into our youth guys, just the ability to focus and just hard work and all that. I'm thankful for, even though he's only been here a short period of time, he's leaving his mark on our youth group. And so I'm so thankful for him. And so just had to say that, guys. I couldn't pass it up. So again, my name's Tyler. I'm here. I'm super excited to teach y'all today. Today is we did. I was thinking about today. Today was our Invite Sunday. And I was thinking about today, it was kind of a sneaky one. We did a sneaky Invite Sunday because we're still learning this process and how we want to announce things and how to go about stuff. And so moving forward, we talked about different ways we're going to announce it. So if you came because somebody invited you, that's awesome. We're so thankful that you're here. And so as I go through today, one, I feel like God's placed you here for a reason. And two, I think that where we're going as a body, we need y'all here, and so thankful. But so, and then another part of today is we're first Sunday of the month. We're teaching on the good news, and so the good news, our vision statement that we believe that God's placed us here to preach the good news to people, to teach, to share. And so I'm sitting there and I'm asking God. I realize, oh man, I got to teach on the good news this week, or not this week, but when I teach. And so I was praying to God and asking him about it. And he started just sharing to me this idea of so many times in my life growing up, I saw getting saved as like that was kind of the peak and that was the finish, right? And so I felt like growing up that once I got saved, I just sat there and then one day God comes and gets me and I'm done, right? And so I started praying about it with God, and he highlighted something in my life. I'm like, there's so much more to the good news than just that, right? And so I was praying, talking to God about it, and he highlighted this thing in my life and kind of want to go through it. He started talking to me about how it's a lot like what happened to me a few years, about 7 years ago. You know, I'm a fireman in Jacksonville, and I was on a job, and it was a fire, and I was whooped. We were barely doing anything. I was tired. I felt sick, and basically had to sit the whole fire out, and everyone else did stuff. And it highlighted something to me, and there's three aspects that it did for me. Is one, it highlighted to me, and it made me realize, hey, I got to do something. Like, I can't rightfully for my family be in this condition. I got to physically get to a point to where, one, for my family, I know that I'm taking all the responsibility and the taking it serious going into the places I go to, the fires, and I can physically get out, right? And then two, I had to do it for the people I work with because they rely on me. At the end of the day, if something happens and they need me to help them get out, I have to physically be able to do that, right? And so I realized, whoa, I'm not where I need to be. And then next thing I did was I did a major life change. I started working out. I ate different. And I look back, and I had a significant life change, but I didn't understand anything about that, right? Working out, I remember, like, well, people who run are in shape. And so I go out, and I start running, right? 2 in the afternoon, 95 degrees. I'm almost dying because that's when I don't know why. I'd just go out and start running. I'd get like a quarter of a lap, be laying on the ground, crawling to my car. I had a major life change, but I had no understanding about it. And so what ended up happening was I started watching videos. I started reading articles. I started talking to people who were in shape of what they were doing, what to do, this, that, and the other. And what ended up happening was that through a 7-year process, now I'm at the point to where we do a feats test, and I do pretty well on it every year. And I have people from my work asking me, hey, can you help me with this? Hey, can you help me? And physically, I'm at a point to where now I have a voice into people's lives, right? And they aren't just, like, some of them are asking workout, diet, and stuff like that, but then it's progressed to lifestyle, to choices in their families, to, and all of a sudden, it's opened a door, right? And so as I was looking at this, I realized something in my life is that those three things are consistent with what we're called to do, right? He brings up, we see something in our lives, or we see that there's a need for him, and we get saved, and I realize that. We have that revelation. Next thing that comes is that life change, right? And then the following thing is we walk in relationship with him. And as I was looking at that, I understood that that was something I naturally did out of just being hungry for that new life. But it's something that I had to take serious. I had to understand, and I naturally did it. And so many times I think what we do is we get saved, and then it's almost like if you have ever participated in a race, Shelby and Mr. Keith ran a 5K yesterday. They did really good. If you want to talk to them, they can help you with your running journey, Shelby. And so if you've ever been in one, they go 3, 2, 1, you go, you cross that start line, and they have tape, and they have directions, and they have, you know, if it's just a random open field, I won't know where to go. And I think so many times as Christians, what happens is people get saved, and then from there, it's kind of blank, right? And so that's where you get that whole dynamic of they get saved, but everything in their life stays the same. And so they're dealing with the same depression, or they're dealing with the same anger, the same, they don't know, they don't have peace, they don't have stuff. And I'll pause right here. Something amazing about our kids' department is we had, my son was afraid of storms. This is just talking about peace. Some storms we've had recently scared him. And then the last storm we had, it was going crazy, and he told me that he didn't have to be afraid because Jesus spoke to storms, and Jesus was in his heart. And let me tell you, as a dad, hey, I want to be a part of whatever's doing that, right? And this place, when you bring your kids, it's not just a place to babysit your kids. They're releasing something, right? And so as I'm hearing that, I'm like, dude, I want to be a part of that, right? And so if you're wondering about this place, man, one, we love your kids. We believe we want them to be all they can be. And we believe that God's entrusted us with a treasure with them. Same with the youth. We have a bunch of, and I'm off on a tangent, but we have a bunch of youth come in here from other churches. And we take that, me and Jen take that serious because we believe that God's placed them here for a reason. And we get to love them, we get to support them, we get to show them, encourage them who they're called to be, and it's an amazing thing. I'm just so happy to be here. And so if you are looking for a home, here is a great one, right? And so as I was seeing this in my life and as I was thinking about it in the church, I was asking God, how do we get from here to here? What's that process look like? And he highlighted, as many of us know, the stories, it's Luke 15. It's about the prodigal son, in which in the story he describes it as the story of the two sons, in which I think that's just such a better description of what's going on there. And so I'm going to get to the top, but in the parable, he talks about how this guy had two sons, and one of his sons, and I'll read it, said, he went to his father and said, I want the share of your estate now before you die. So the father agreed. He wanted his inheritance, right? So his father gave him his inheritance. And a few days later, he left and packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. And so what God spoke to me is, you know, a lot of times that's talked, you know, it's lost people out in the world and then God brings them back. And I agree with that. But also what I see is that he didn't fully understand who he was, right? And so many times I think in the world today is that these people who we look at and they go, oh, they're just lost. They're doing some wild living there. And in reality, what they're getting is they're seeking to fulfill this void. There's a piece that's missing in their life, and it's relationship with God, but they don't know it. And so they seek it in drugs, alcohol, friends, you know, possessions, money, and they're seeking all this. And you can talk, if you talk to some of these guys, they're like, you know, especially people who have made a lot of money, they'll be like, you know, I got everything I ever wanted and I was not happy. You know, something was missing. And so you talk to these guys, and I believe that's kind of like the same picture, right? It's not that they're evil people or terrible people. It's that they are seeking it. They don't have an understanding. They're just looking for an answer. And so many times that these people look for an answer, and sadly, in my profession, I see a lot of people, it end terribly. You know, it ends in divorce. It ends in them taking their own life, which is terrible, guys. Absolutely awful. And so you see all these people dealing with this. And so this is what happens. He said it's wild living, and about that time his money ran out and a great famine swept over the land. And he began to starve. And so he persuaded a local farmer to let him hire him, and he sent him out and he fed the pigs. And he was so hungry he wanted to eat what the pigs were having. And that's where these guys are getting to, right? I look at these guys we go on calls with, and they are at the end of the end of the end, right? They've used everything. They've sought after. They've tried to meet this need, and they have no idea how to meet it, but they have no resources left. And it's so sad, and they're at the end of the rope, and that's where they don't see an end in sight. They don't see a way of getting out of it, right? And it's so sad. And then what happens? They have the realization. They have the revelation, right? And they go, you know what? My father's servants, they have more than enough, is what it says in here, right? The people who serve under my dad, they've got so much more than anything I could understand. And it's so sad. And so what happens is he has that realization, and he starts preparing a speech to convince his father to take him back, right? And he's like, you know, I've sinned against you in heaven. Please forgive me. Just let me be a servant. And he's having all this, and he's rehearsing it. And I don't know if y'all have ever rehearsed what you're going to say. I've gotten a lot of spankings. I've gotten in a lot of trouble growing up. Like, my mom and dad, they believed in discipline, and I'm happy for it, but they believed in it heavy. like there's sometimes I'm like, yes, Lord, thank you for having parents who disciplined me. But, like, you know, maybe we could have, no. But so, and I remember those times where I break something of my mom's, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to tell her that I accidentally bumped the cabinet as I was cleaning and vacuuming. And as I was cleaning and vacuuming, the Lord spoke to me, and I went to, you know, went to pray and bumped the cabinet and knocked it off. It never worked. Normally, they're like, yeah, right, you know. I don't know how many times they just stand there and just wait. They'd wait for me to be done. But that doesn't happen in this, right? What ends up happening in this is that the father, he sees him from a far ways off, right? And what I like to think when I read this, even from a far way off, I can tell if something's bothering somebody, right? Like, if somebody walks through those back doors and I looked at that person, I'd be like, oh, something seems off about them. And so as the father sees him far off, he runs up to him and it rejoices, right? And so, let me read it. And so, he said, he returned home to his father's house, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran towards his son, embraced him, kissed him. And his son started, like so many times, his son started into the speech. Father, I've sinned. And it's like he doesn't even hear it, right? He turns to the servant and goes, hey, get the finest robe, gather everyone up. We're going to have a party because he's home. And so that's, you know, sometimes we're conditioned to this idea of that when I return or whenever I turn to God, there's a punishment there, and it's not true, right? There's a celebration. He celebrated. So he had that realization, right? And so then he goes to the father, and the father feeds the fattened calf and all this stuff. And it's, guys, so powerful. People are dying to have that response, right? How many people do we know in our life as we maybe friends or people we talk to occasionally, they just want to be accepted. So many times I think people hear all the stuff they're doing wrong, and they just need that encouragement. And how many, I look at, even at work sometimes, there's some people underneath me, and, you know, I lead a small group, and then I have a guy over me. But these guys, so many times, all I have to do is encourage them. Hey, man, you're doing a good job. Or, hey, man, I noticed you did this really well. We could improve on this, but you did this really well. And so just subtle things, right? And so now, again, what has that done? Those guys text me. I get texts. I get calls. I get, hey, Tyler, I'm dealing with this. Hey, I need help on this. And so out of that just encouragement and embracing them and believing in them, it opens doors. And so that's the first son. And I think so many times, like I said, they just, as people come into here, they need that father. They need that person who sees them from afar off, runs and embraces them. And so that's the first thing, is that realizing what's going on. And so I'm going to go on to the second son. And so many times, I remember growing up, so many times, the second son was like that guy that we were like, don't be this guy. That's about, you know, we taught the first son, oh, yes. And then we got to the second son and said, don't be that guy. You know, don't be the angry guy. Don't be the grumpy guy. Don't be this, you know, rejoice with them. And that's pretty much where we ended. But as I was reading through it, I started seeing there's a lot of aspects that are kind of sad if we were just to ignore it, right? And so as we read through it, now we're going to go down to 27. He asked one of the servants, what's going on? Because they're, you know, big celebration. And he said, your brother's back. Your father has killed the fattened calf, and we are celebrating because he's safe return. The older brother became angry and wouldn't go in. And so his father comes out and starts talking to him, right? And so what happened in that moment, right? What happened is he didn't understand. He was confused. He was hurt. He said, "What are we doing? We're celebrating." And they said, "Oh, your brother's back." After he spent everything, after he spent half of what they had, right? And they're going to celebrate him. And I love what the father in here says. He's begging him to come back in. And the brother replied, and he said, "All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me. And all that time, you never gave me even a young goat to feast with my friends. And yet when this son of yours comes back," and he distanced himself in that almost. He doesn't say brother. He says sons of yours comes back after squandering your money in wild living, you kill the fattened calf. And the response is key. And he says, so as I'm reading that, I'm realizing he was a son, but he never walked it out. There was no lifestyle change, right? And so he served, he checked the boxes, he performed the task, he did everything that was required of him, but he never partook of being the son. And the father says, "Look," and he says, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by my side. Everything I have has always been yours." And I think so many times we get saved and there's that no lifestyle change. And so I deal with the same issues I dealt with before I got saved. I have no peace. I have no money. I have no friends, right? And so I get to this place, but in reality, there's got to be that lifestyle change of, wait, I have an abundance of resources. God has everything that I could ever ask for. And as he's reading, as he's telling it, he said, "We celebrate this day because your brother was dead and now he's back to life." And so in that moment, I realized, so I have the realization that I need him, and I have the lifestyle change. Now I'm not a servant. I'm not a person who just checks the box till I die and I go to heaven, but I have authority. I get to walk with God. I get to have this interaction with God. I don't have to live with no peace, right? My son broke his arm just before her birthday, really. I think it was the week before, Saturday before. And I was at a different birthday party, and it was chaos after he broke his arm. And, like, I'm going into work mode slightly. My wife did an amazing job. I was starting to get frustrated, guilty, because I'm trying to calm him down. And he just wanted to keep playing. He was fine, right? And so it was chaos. Everyone's, "Oh, let me get this." And they're trying to help, but there's no peace about it. And so we get in the car, and he calms down. Everyone calms down. And we start driving there. The whole interaction, I think he cried one time when we told him, "No, we aren't going home right now." Right? He's like, "All done. Doctor came in. I go home." We're like, "No, like, that was just the nurse checking you in." Like, he was so funny. But he didn't cry. They gave him the shot. They set his arm. They did all that stuff. And there was so much peace. And every point, the x-ray, the nurses, the individual who set the cast, the ortho, all those guys kept going, "Man, he's pretty calm. Man, he's normally they're screaming. Man," like, even just putting on, like, the blood pressure cuff, most kids scream, right? And it's not because, it's because of the peace, right? The peace that we've decided to carry at our house, and the peace that we interact with our boys. And so as we do that, we get to release that, right? And so I believe that I carry that peace. And so in the storms, in all that chaos, I'm a son of God. And so I get to carry peace. I don't have to be scared. I don't have to panic. I don't have to let everything around me dictate how I respond, right? I get to walk in that freedom. And the last thing is relationship. And I would highlight this. The big thing is I read this passage so many times, and the way the father responded, right? He had two completely different situations going on. He had a son who took his inheritance, you know, walked out of the family, wasted it all, and then he returned. And he was ashamed of the way he was. He's like, I just blew all dad's, half of dad's money, and now I got to go back and just basically clean up, clean the floors, do this, just to survive, right? And so he was ashamed. And the second son, he was hurt. He was confused. There was a disconnect there. And he responded in anger, right? And the story, I love that he added those two aspects of it. And how did the father respond, right? And the response, it's, if you look at it, it's consistent between the two. Is that he acted with his sons that he loved them. You could tell from the get-go, this guy loved both those sons. The way he spoke to them, the way he interacted with them, the way he brought them in and encouraged them and raised them up, right? He had patience with the first son when he left, right? He had patience with the older son, you know, as he's pouring out his heart, how he's feeling. He didn't cut him off and say, you shouldn't feel like that. He spoke to him and he rejoiced. Hey, listen. To the younger one, he rejoiced. You saw it physically. And then the older one, listen, you have everything. You have full access to everything I have. And we can rejoice in that. And he restored them, right? The first one he restored back. And it's easy to see that one. But the second one, what he did is he restored him. He said, you aren't a servant. You don't operate under the same guidelines. You get to be a son. You get access to everything. If you wanted a fattened calf, you could have had it the whole time. But what kept him from being able to do that was he didn't understand. He didn't understand, I've had a lifestyle change, right? And so as we go into this idea of, so I get saved, and then all of a sudden I have full access to who God is. I don't have to experience this chaos. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world today, and it's sad, right? It's sad. And if we sat in it, if I allow it to dictate how I respond, then I'll feel sad, and I'll feel angry, and I'll feel these things. But if I choose to go, you know what? God's good. God loves me. He's patient. He rejoices and wants me to be successful. And then when I fail, he restores me. When I stumble, I love the way that a lot of these, you know, there's a movie on Disney, and I blanked on the name. I think it's The Robinsons. And they celebrate when they fail. And it's because if you don't fail, their thought is that our desire is to keep moving forward. And when we fail and when we do these, it's not a setback, but it's understanding that we're still moving forward and we're figuring it out, right? And so the idea is, and it's a quote from Disney, Walt Disney, is that his heart was that they push limits, they push boundaries, because their heart is that they keep moving forward. And so whenever I think about relationship with God, my heart is that I want to interact with the people who come through these doors with that love, with that patience. I want to rejoice with them when they're happy. And then when they have things, I want to help restore them, or I want to speak life and encouragement into them, because that's not where they're meant to stay. We're moving towards that goal of relationship with God. And so that's the overarching thing of the good news, is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose in power. And now not only do I get to get saved and I don't have to worry about that anymore, I get to walk in relationship with him. And what relationship with him looks like, again, peace in those storms. Like my son spoke, he said, you know, I don't have to be afraid. Jesus is in my heart. That's what I want over my life. And so when financially it doesn't look like, it doesn't make sense where we're going, I realize, oh, wait, you provide peace. You have an abundance of resources. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be afraid of what's going on. And so what I feel like, as I was looking at this story, something I feel like is that when I look at these two sons, I can see me thinking this same way in different areas of my life or different aspects or different seasons of my life. And so as I was praying about it, I just feel this overwhelming thing of that there's some people here today that have, you know, they have lived that wild life where they have, and in all honesty, I don't even almost like that language, that they've really, what they've been doing is they've been chasing something to fill the void. And they didn't have the understanding, or they didn't choose. They thought this life over here would be way better than this one with God. And so they just didn't have the understanding. And so if that's you and you feel like you're having one of those revelation or realizing that God's called you to this place, we're going to have people up here that can pray for you, right? And then some of us are like that second son. And we're at the point where I got saved. I've just been kind of here, but I'm still feel like I'm pushed and tossed by the waves of life. And there's no consistency in my life. And so some of us feel like that, and I can honestly look back on both of these and see them in my life. But you know what? God's got an answer for you. He wants to show you love. He's going to show you patience, right? He's going to rejoice with you and restore you. And so in those aspects, God wants to meet you today, right? And so if everyone will stand, I'm going to pray for us. If you're on a ministry team, if you'll come on up. And so, again, thank you so much. I'm so glad that y'all came here today. And I'm going to just pray for us real quick. And so, dear God, I'm, again, thankful for these amazing individuals and just my amazing family up here, Lord. And I just ask that today, wherever we're at with this, if we're at a point of just feeling lost and needing help, that we come up today and just get prayed for. And I just ask that you meet them, Lord. And if we've been on this journey with you and just don't know the direction or don't know what we're supposed to do or have felt angry even and lost at times, or you even feel just a disconnection, I just ask that you just meet us here today, Lord. I'm thankful that you're always good and you're always faithful, and that the one constant in my life is that you're always there for me and that you love me. And so as we go through this rest of this week, Lord, just practically, I just choose to interact with you in this. And I choose to believe what you spoke over us as true. That you are loving and that you love me. That you are patient with me, Lord. And your heart is to restore. And so as we finish up today and we start our new week, we just take these with us and we say that this is going to be the best week we've ever had, Lord. Again, I'm so thankful for all these people here, and I just ask that you just bless them in amazingly powerful ways that only can be described by what you are doing in their life. Amen. So y'all are released. If y'all want prayer, come on up. We got amazing prayer teams. My wife and Bill. Harvey over here, just from Guatemala. Amen.